The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times Communities column, Forbidden Sable Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but when even evangelical Christians on both sides of the political aisle disagree with each other, you get confused. I'd like to address that confusion today. Welcome to our program. The theme, as always, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Now, I'm very aware that different members of the audience, we have a wide variety of people in our audience, different members of the audience like different subjects. But let me talk heart to heart with all of you. Right now, lately, we've been stressing politics. Well, duh, that's a no-brainer. This is because the election's coming up. That should be rather obvious. I know a lot of you like the Bible-based shows better. For what it's worth, I do believe that speaking out against any movement that limits our freedom is biblical. I believe it is our responsibility as Christians to speak out. Unfortunately, speaking out for freedom or speaking out on behalf of the oppressed sometimes means commenting on the political structures and paradigms which threaten the way of life we hold so dear. So all these radio shows are Bible-based as far as I'm concerned, but I do understand your point. You mean you prefer it when I expound upon certain passages of Scripture, talking about the greater themes of inspiration and salvation, or talks which cultivate your relationship with God, or evidence for God's existence, the credibility of the Bible. Well, I like those kinds of programs better myself. I honestly do. I also consider those types of broadcasts to be my unique distinction, since my program is not on a Christian station, but a secular station. Conservative political shows are important, and I listen to them, and I love them, but they're already numerous. In fact, they're a dime a dozen. So I am aware that the biblical portion of my program is more unique. For many years, I did a 50-50 split here on KCBQ 1170. Generally, the first half of the show would be political, the second half religious. Oh, sometimes there'd be an all-political program followed the following week by an all-religious program. But by the end of the year, it averaged out about 50-50. This past year, I should say, I tried to make it more 70-30, 70 being religious. You wouldn't feel that way to listen to us the last couple of weeks, but if you check the archives for 2012 on bobsiegel.net, you'll see many religious shows for 2012. These past few weeks, though, have been very political, and again, it's because an election is coming up, and not just any election. I believe this is the most important election in the history of our country. I kid you not. Four more years of this president, and you will not recognize America. Oh, it will still exist. It will still be called the United States. But our First Amendment rights to freedom of speech will be gone. There's all kinds of things going on, but that concerns me more than anything. If you've been listening to this program, the First Amendment, the values that so many of you stand for, will be against the law. Or more correctly put, it will be against the law for you to express them without them maybe being called hate speech when you're not speaking hate at all. You're just sharing what you honestly believe. And financially, well, I don't want to say the private sector will be completely gone, but it'll be almost gone. Now, for most of you, that sounds hard to believe. After all, Obama has already been here 4 years. Yeah, he has. And there is nothing I warned people about 4 years ago that hasn't started to happen. I'm not saying I'm the only one who's warned people. Obviously, there have been many others, but let me say that again. There is nothing I warned people about 4 years ago that hasn't started to happen. Nothing. Oh, he was slowed down by Republicans taking back the House in 2010. He also keeps himself a little bit in check because he has an election to win. not a lot in check, but a little bit. The next 4 years, he will not be running for re-election. Remember when he made that promise to the Russian premier, Dmitry, that I have another election and then I can do things the way you want them done? Boy, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall and hear more of that conversation? Okay, if he gets reelected, what's going to stop him then? Congress? Congress can't stop him now. He's already ignored three laws from our other branches, not just Congress, but the Supreme Court too. Three laws from our other branches. He's been ruling by fiat. Even with an election ahead, he's been ruling by fiat. If he gets reelected, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, here's the good news, at least good news as far as I'm concerned. After the election is over, I plan to stop talking about politics on this program, not permanently, but for at least a month or so. If Obama loses, we won't need to talk about it for a while. If Obama wins, I got to tell you, I'll be too depressed to talk about it. Either way, I promise the politics will subside, but not today. What I'm offering today is a passionate plea primarily to fellow Christians, but also to anyone else who wants to listen about why I believe Obama must be voted out of office. Now, let me begin with an important disclaimer since I said I'm talking to Christians. I'm not ignoring all the talk about separation between church and state. We don't find those words in our Constitution, but there is an establishment clause in the First Amendment. America was not designed to be a country where people are forced to be Christians or forced to be religious at all. So why do I discuss politics on a Christian radio show? Well, it's not because I seek some Christian version of Sharia law, but I do believe our country has Christian roots and was founded upon Judeo-Christian values. I do not believe we can remain a republic without those values. A republic, by its very nature, is fragile. So is a democracy. Without values, Palestinians vote in parties like Hamas. Without values, the German Weimar Republic votes in chancellors like Hitler. Without freedom of speech, which is one of the most important of these values I'm talking about, without freedom of speech, a republic becomes a dictatorship or perhaps an oligarchy. Now, speaking of values, I also believe these same values can be found in the human conscience. If you're an atheist, they're in your conscience. So I'm not speaking merely to Christians right now. Also, and this is very important, as a Christian and as a full-time minister, a full-time Christian apologist, I have never, ever said on the air or anywhere else that your voting record qualifies or disqualifies you for salvation. I do not believe you have to be a Republican to be a Christian. I myself am a Democrat, actually. Oh, a conservative Democrat to be sure, but a Democrat just the same. I did not vote for Obama in 2008, but I know many Christians who did. This includes fellow pastors. This includes dear friends. I know they love Jesus. I know God's Holy Spirit lives in their hearts. I disagree with them. There are certain facts I wish they had checked out. They are very intelligent people, but I would be of the opinion that they could have better used their intellect to gather information. They could have done their research. They could have done their homework. Nevertheless, on Judgment Day, God looks at the heart and not the head. Better people than me voted for Obama. In heaven, they will probably have a big mansion. I might be a janitor mopping their floors, okay? But I still must warn them. I still must warn you not to vote for this man again. Now, I seriously considered doing this program the first Sunday of November, November 4th, right before the election. That would seem like a good time to do it. But then the program would have become obsolete just 2 days later. Much as I love the conventional radio broadcast, these days it's becoming more and more about the podcasts and streams off websites. Some of my shows have been heard by literally thousands after posting to my website. That's on top of whoever heard the live broadcast. So I want to give today's show a chance to be effective, and you can help me with this if you agree with me, if I persuade you. And if I don't persuade you, just make copies of my show and send them to your friends anyway and say, hey, listen to the idiot. Who knows? Maybe I won't sound as idiotic to them. Go to my website tomorrow, bobsiegel.net. Download this program or send a link to it. Send the links to your friends. Okay. For starters, I'm going to share a story from a time I preached at a large church here in San Diego back in August of 2008. I was a guest speaker, spoke in the Sunday morning service. When I was finished, a college student, or at least someone who looked that age, came up to me and shook my hand. He says, I really liked your message, but I didn't like what you said about Obama. Now, actually, my message was not about Obama, although I had made a joke about him in passing while I was preaching. It was a statement not more than 30 seconds long. I suppose the remark could have gone unspoken, at least in that context. It had nothing to do with the purpose of my sermon, but that doesn't mean Obama should not be discussed in church. As a matter of fact, this comment from the student made me wish that my entire sermon had been about Obama. Again, part of being a Christian is warning people and speaking out against dangerous trends. In any event, the student said he was an Obama supporter, and you'll never guess the reason he put forth. Are you ready for this? Because you've never heard this before. Change, he said. We need change. Oh, boy, that was original. Where did he come up with that one? You suppose he might have just heard it somewhere and he was repeating it? But I asked him a question, and I don't know how many people may have asked him this question. I said, change for what? I thought that was a fair question, a question that never seemed to be asked or answered in the good old days of 2008. And he smiled with enthusiasm, change for the good, and then he walked away. That was the totality of our conversation. That is about as much as any supporter of Obama was willing to dialogue with another. Now, look, I know the student meant well, and he is representative of many younger evangelicals who were being influenced by a lot of euphoria. I mean no disrespect. I could see the guy's sincerity. Again, this happened in 2008, and now I'm going to read to you from a blog that I wrote back in 2008. At the time, I was blogging for Town Hall, and my blog was listed in the national top 10 very consistently. And for that reason, knowing that a lot of people were reading this around the country, I had hoped I could change some minds about Obama. Obviously, not just me, but, you know, much bigger radio shows, nationally syndicated shows. But I wanted to do my part, and I knew I had a national audience with this blog, and I hoped I could change some minds, even the minds of fellow evangelical Christians. It didn't work. Or let me put it this way, if I changed any minds, I certainly didn't change enough. That's rather apparent. Obama got elected. I want you to hear again, though, now, what I wrote them. Let's just see how many of these concerns actually manifested. Now, I don't do this to brag because there's no time left for bragging. My friends, the hour is late. I do this because if you see that I predicted accurately the first time, maybe you'll pay more attention today, the second time. Now, I'm very aware that not all the members of my audience are Christians. We have conservative Jews who listen. We have people who disagree who listen. We have people who aren't religious at all, and those people probably do like the political programs better than the Bible programs. All right, I respect all of you. Thank you for listening. I believe each of you has a sense of decency, or you wouldn't listen to any talk radio at all. You all have a conscience. So whereas the blog I am reading was written for Christians, I believe it applies to many. Okay, this was originally written for Town Hall blog by Bob Siegel, June 18th, 2008. That's several months before the election. My fellow brothers and sisters, I know that many of you are enamored with Obama, especially the younger generation, those of you in your teens or 20s. There's an old saying, young adults who aren't liberal have no heart. And middle-aged adults who aren't conservative have no brain. I'm not trying to be insulting, only honest. As people get older, things begin to change and they begin to see life differently. They get more concerned about our public schools because their kindergarten-age kids come home and say, my teacher said it's okay for boys to marry boys. Now, as a philosophy, none of that stuff sounded so bad while you were in college. When it hits your own children, you will feel differently, mark my words. As people get older, they also see how much money the government is grabbing from their paychecks, money they worked hard for. And finally, the longer we have been alive, the more experiences we have. Eventually, we encounter such unfiltered evil. We realize that all the peace marches in the world, all the negotiations on the globe will not make the evil go away. I do sympathize with where you're coming from. You are compassionate. And you serve a God who wants you to be even more compassionate. I'm glad you are so loving. Your intentions are pure. But please listen carefully. It is crucial that compassion not be misplaced. Misplaced compassion is deadly. Misplaced compassion destroys lives. To hear Obama talk, one would think that all he wants to do is reach out to the poor and disenfranchised. He wants health care for all and free ice cream for all the kiddies. This certainly sounds compatible to the lifestyle of Jesus. So what brings me to the conclusion that following Obama would do nothing of the kind and would not at all spread God's kingdom and would instead actually reverse the cause? First of all, Obama is a liberal Christian. I'm not talking about his politics right now. The fact that he has been the most liberal person in the Senate has been obvious for quite some time, but there's a different definition of liberal, referring to one with liberal theology. Most of the news about Obama's church is focused on his hateful, controversial pastor. Although that should certainly be enough to give us pause, we usually hear very little about the church itself, Trinity United, its beliefs, and the beliefs of the organization it belongs to, the World Council of Churches. At the moment, just for the sake of continuity, you should understand that Obama belongs to a church which does not believe the entire Bible is inspired by God, that Jesus he follows does not claim to be the only means to salvation. His Jesus accepts abortion, and his Jesus also accepts gay marriage. You may have your own opinion of those issues, but they are irrelevant right now. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, you must adhere to his views, or you are not truly following him. Sorry to make it so simple, but the Bible itself makes it just exactly that simple, and if we can't trust the Bible's record of Jesus' teachings, we have no other record, and we would have to ask ourselves what we really mean when we claim to adhere to the commands of Jesus. Obama's Christian foundation is as broken as a demagnetized compass, and that makes him a guide headed the wrong direction. Oh, sure. It may sound Christian to say that the rich must pay their fair share of taxes. Do you realize that our economy is better with less taxes? That lower taxes create more jobs and therefore even more revenue for the government? It also empowers churches and other charity groups to help the poor without all the government bureaucracy, which eats up most of the money. Even so, is it Christian for a government to literally steal money that hardworking people earn themselves? Yes, the Bible does talk about voluntary redistribution of wealth, but are you going to endorse mandatory redistribution of wealth? What is your Bible basis for that? It also sounds Christian to sit down with an enemy, leaders, and talk to them. But are you aware that the Iranian leader Ahmadinejad denies the Holocaust? Are you aware that while he issues this denial, he also promises to wipe every Jew out in Israel? Is it Christian to sit down and offer appeasement to a man like that? It sounds Christian to believe in a woman's right to choose, but does that right extend to baby women? Are you aware that Obama supports partial birth abortion? Are you further aware that this procedure is not really abortion, but infanticide? A baby at full term is taken 3/4 out of the womb only to have its brains drilled out. This is a baby who could have been adopted. There are more loving parents on adoption waiting lists than babies to go around because the babies are being murdered. Nobody is telling the mother she has to keep her baby. Would Jesus have compassion for children? Do you remember some of his warnings about those who would harm children? He said it would be better for them if a millstone was tied around their necks and they were thrown into the sea. While we're on the subject of Obama's Christianity and his beliefs about abortion, when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, was it her right to choose whether or not to carry the baby? It may sound Christian to support the California Supreme Court's recent ruling about gay marriage, but are you aware that this court overturned the will of the California people? 61% of them oppose gay marriage. Putting the issue of homosexuality aside, is it Christian to accept democracy or a dictatorship? Obama praised the Supreme Court's decision. One more thing. I'm sure you love your own pastors and churches. Do you want to see your pastors arrested for refusing to perform gay marriages? This can happen now that gay marriage is legal, and in some places, the law is already clamping down with civil suits. My friends, my Christian family, please, I implore you, something is wrong with this kind of Christianity. It does not even remotely resemble the Christianity of the Bible. The Bible warns us not to be taken in by charm or charisma or strong personality. I know people are making stupid comments about Obama, calling him the Antichrist. For what it is worth, I do not believe he is the Antichrist. But I will say this, the real Antichrist, when he comes, will be embraced by people who are thinking from their hearts and not from their heads, who claim to be following God, but who are not really reading his words. In other words, whoever Obama is, he is being followed for the same reasons that people of the future will follow the Antichrist. I'm not even blaming Obama. I would have a problem with anyone who's being followed blindly, even a politician that I liked a little better. Yes, be compassionate, but know this. If you elect Obama, babies will die in the name of compassion. Jew-hating dictators will be enabled in the name of compassion. Money will be stolen from hardworking people in the name of compassion. Our democracy will turn into a judicial tyranny in the name of compassion. And pastors will be forced to compromise their convictions at the threat of jail in the name of compassion. I have studied the Bible and the teachings of Jesus since the year 1977. I assure you, the real Jesus has nothing to do with this rock star type phenomenon, this wolf in sheep's clothing, this army hidden inside what looks like a Trojan horse gift. But don't take my word for it. I myself have no desire to be blindly followed. Study, ponder, and think about it. All I ask is that while you are thinking, allow your heart to cooperate with your brain. May the real Lord Jesus bless us and deliver us from this precarious condition of our nation, and may those who think they are serving God get to know his word a little better so that they can read and understand what the real God truly has to say. Okay, that was written for Town Hall on June 18th, 2008. It was a little longer than what I read, but I read most of it to you just now. Actually, it became outdated sooner than I would have thought. I talked in there about partial birth abortion, but after I wrote that blog, Obama's vote, which he had taken a few years ago, but it hadn't become news, his vote to stop a law that would have prevented infanticide, not abortion, but infanticide, his vote against the Illinois Infant Protection Act was not yet in the front of the news. When it made the news, very few news outlets came out with it. You had to look for it. Most Christians never heard about it. They voted for Obama anyway. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Before the break, I read from a blog I wrote before Obama was elected back in 2008. Now let me read from another blog I wrote shortly after his election. After that election, I predicted this election, the one we're about to have. I didn't predict the winner. I can't predict the winner. But I predicted the agenda. This was written on townhall.com February 8th, 2009, very shortly after Obama was inaugurated. I wrote, just watch. 4 years from now, when Obama wants to get reelected, he will run against Bush once again. I keep listening to hopeful conservative talking points. Obama is on too high of a pedestal, they say. People expect him to walk on water and solve all of our problems. That's a tough order. Nobody can live up to it. Obama will make our economy worse. What's he going to say 4 years from now when our national debt is in the trillions of dollars and even more people are unemployed? Oh, I hate to shatter the hopes of my conservative peers, but I can tell you just exactly what Obama is going to say. He's going to say the disastrous policies of George W. Bush were so far-reaching, so entrenching, and so massively tentacled that it will take an additional 4 years to get ourselves out of this quagmire. Rest assured, if the economy is still bad, it will be Bush's fault. And if a terrorist attack on the magnitude of 9/11 comes our way, it will also be Bush's fault. The fact that Obama is kissing up to organizations such as Hamas and dictators like Ahmadinejad will have nothing to do with it. Never mind that compromise emboldens terrorists. Never mind that they always strike again when they see a sign of weakness. When it happens, we will be told that if Bush had not gone into Iraq, none of this would have happened. Bush will receive no credit for having kept the country safe during the 7 years following 9/11. Instead, he will be blamed when Obama's appeasement policies bring fanatical Islam crashing down on top of us. That's what I wrote early in 2009. What have we been seeing in the news this past week around the world and in the financial sector? And I do hear pundits and Obama surrogates coming on the talk show saying, oh, the reason the Muslims are protesting is because of George Bush. I know there are a lot of peaceful Muslims, but there are a lot of radical Muslims, and the more you try to appease them, the less it works. Catching on? This guy was very predictable for anyone paying attention. I'm not patting myself on the back. A trained chimpanzee could have made these predictions. But now let me tell you other things that came out in 2008, which the media wouldn't discuss, not the mainstream media. You did hear about it in the new media. New media being talk radio, the blogosphere, to a lesser degree, Fox News. For the sake of time, I can't share with you all of my resources, but I'm telling you, everything I'm saying is documented. Put me to the test. Go to my website, bobsiegel.net. Look at the backlog of columns that I wrote, or go to the Washington Times communities. Look at my column, Forbidden Table Talk. Look at my back columns there, or go to the San Diego Newsroom. Look at my back columns. These online magazines have editors, and these editors demand sources from their writers before they can be published. Use their search engines. Use my website's search engine. It's all documented. Before Obama came into office, he talked about being a uniter rather than a divider, but he warned an audience that people will object to him just because he's black. He played the race card right from the beginning. If you have friends telling you that the only reason you object to Obama is that he's black, there's a very simple question you ask them. What about African Americans who didn't vote for Obama in 2008? He got a lot of their votes, but he didn't get all of them. What about them? Now, if they're going to give an honest answer, if they're not going to say something stupid like, oh, well, the guy's an Oreo, you know, he's not really black. But if they're going to give an honest answer, they're going to have to say, well, obviously, these were not people who objected to the skin color black. Obviously, they were not racist. In their case, they had policy reasons for objecting to Obama. And then all you have to do is say, well, if they can have policy reasons for objecting to Obama, why can't white people have policy reasons unless you are the one making decisions based on skin color, which completely contradicts the words of Martin Luther King, who says we judge a man by his character and not by the color of his skin. Well, that's all I'm doing. I'm judging Obama by his character and his policies, which again included his vote against the Illinois Infant Protection Act. This proposed legislation was introduced because hospitals were unsure how to treat live babies who were born as a result of botched up late-term abortions. Because it had been the wish of the mother to have an abortion, some nurses were denying care to the infants and they were dying. Obama refused to vote for a law that would have stopped this. The law passed, but without Obama's vote. Now, for a Christian, for any decent person with a conscience, I would think this would end the discussion. A man who wouldn't protect the life of a baby is a man who would do anything. And yet that was just one of so many things in 2008. Obama's campaign kicked off in the house of self-professed, unashamed, proud terrorist Bill Ayers, who had tried to blow up both the Pentagon and the Capitol building in the early 1970s. Now, due to a legal technicality, they could not prosecute him, but he never pleaded innocent. He pleaded guilty and bragged about it, talked about what a horrible country America was, how they would have deserved what happened. Obama kicked off his campaign in this guy's living room. And Obama had a connection with Rashid Kahali, a PLO spokesman who organized a fundraiser for him. Obama said he had a lot to learn from him. The PLO essentially created terrorism as we know it. Now, that said something ahead of time about how he was going to treat Israel, didn't it? Obama openly admitted his views of redistributing wealth to a guy that became nicknamed Joe the Plumber. Now, when people call Obama socialist, when a conservative calls Obama socialist, he's accused right away of inflammatory speech. But if a desire to redistribute wealth isn't an example of socialism, that word should be removed from the dictionary. What else does it mean? For 20 years, Obama attended the church of Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who teaches and believes that all white people are racist and only white people are racist, yet he himself is a real racist for believing those things, and he himself is an anti-Semite. He gave Louis Farrakhan the Man of the Year Award. Farrakhan has given speeches about Jews and Jewish conspiracies that could be compared with Hitler. Obama claimed he never heard any of this racist talk from Reverend Wright. In the 20 years he attended, yet Wright performed his wedding and baptized his children. Wright has since come forward, claiming that the Obama campaign approached him and offered him money to take a low profile during the election. Obama was back and forth about gay marriage. He said he personally was against it, but he didn't think Jesus would have a problem with it. He said he believed marriage was between a man and a woman, but he would not support any national law to that effect, saying it should be left to the states. But then Proposition 8, which was leaving it to the states, which wanted to make that part of the state constitution because the Supreme Court had overturned a law saying it was unconstitutional. So now Proposition 8 tried to make it constitutional. Obama said he was against Proposition 8 as well. Well, okay, he says it should be left up to the states, but then when the state wants to do it, he doesn't think they should. Not very consistent. Many Christians voted for Prop 8, but also voted for Obama, the man who does not believe in Prop 8. Many Latinos and African Americans voted for Prop 8. It wouldn't have passed without their vote, but they also voted for Obama, the man who does not believe in Prop 8. Obama was also on record saying he favors the fairness doctrine, an attempt to force conservative stations to play an equal amount of liberal programming. If that sounds fair and balanced, I just want to remind you the plan was not to force major networks like NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, or tax-paid NPR. It wasn't going to force them to show the other side. It wasn't going to ask college campuses to offer an equal amount of conservative expression in the classroom. Now, that's stuff we knew about Obama before he came into office. Since coming into office, Obama has changed his position on gay marriage. Now he finally admits that he's all for it. He says his position evolved, but he'll portray Romney's changing positions as a flip-flopper. When Obama changes his mind, he evolves. When Romney changes it, he's a flip-flopper. Yeah, that's the way it works. Now, Proposition 8 has since been overturned by judges, and Obama continues to appoint many liberal judges who love to overturn things. A hate crimes bill got through Congress and was signed by Obama, and it had hate speech legislation attached to it. Now, if violence is done to a homosexual and the perpetrator wants to claim he once heard a sermon from a pastor from Romans 1, the pastor can be made culpable. So you see, the very things I warned Christians about in 2008, they are starting to happen. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. To build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com. Listening to The Bob Siegel Show. I've been talking about some things that are the hallmark of the Obama administration, his trophies. Obama appointed a self-professed communist, Van Jones, as his green czar. That wasn't a rumor. Van Jones himself said he was a communist. They removed him only after it showed up some of his speeches on YouTube, and people like Glenn Beck made a big deal out of it. Obama ignored the Supreme Court ruling on police in Arizona being allowed to check documents to see if people are here legally. He ignored immigration law by refusing to deport kids that they find who are younger than 31 and who might be in college or other extenuating circumstances. He ignored part of a law that says people must find a job to be on welfare. This was a bipartisan law signed by Bill Clinton. He claimed executive privilege when asked to release the documents for Fast and Furious, a program that provided American guns to Mexican drug cartels. When one of our border agents was killed with some of those same guns, and when evidence came forth suggesting this was an attempt to make guns look so bad that the Second Amendment might be weakened, that there was this agenda behind it, Obama then blocked a congressional investigation by calling on executive privilege. Now, he makes the biggest deal out of Romney not releasing all of his tax returns. Romney released a few. His accountant came forth and said that he paid his taxes all those years that they're asking for. If he hadn't, don't you think the IRS would have been on him? Don't you think with this election going on, he would have been audited? Okay, but all right, Romney doesn't release all his tax returns. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. What about the stuff Obama won't release? He won't release Fast and Furious. In the debate, Romney should say, Mr. President, you release the documents for Fast and Furious, and I'll release more of my tax records. And that's just the least of it. Right now, lately, big, huge news, he won't release data concerning the assassination of three Americans, one our ambassador to Libya. For over a week, Obama insisted this attack had to do with a YouTube video about Mohammed. It turned out this was a planned attack for the anniversary of 9/11. It was an act of terrorism with ties to Al-Qaeda. But that's the real story, and that would make his foreign policy look bad. Remember, he got bin Laden. Yeah, he got bin Laden. I went on the air and gave him credit for getting bin Laden. I did. I'm a fair guy. He got bin Laden. He got him with information from waterboarding, which he swore he would stop and did stop. But before it was stopped, information was obtained about bin Laden's whereabouts. And so he got bin Laden. He still tries to sit down and have discussions with the snake-like Ahmadinejad, president of Iran, who says the Holocaust never happened, but it might not be a bad idea if it did happen because he plans to wipe out every Jew in Israel. Obama still believes we can make an agreement with Ahmadinejad, but he got bin Laden. And when Prime Minister of Israel Benjamin Netanyahu visits New York for the United Nations conference requesting a meeting with our president because Iran is on its way to developing a nuclear bomb, possibly within months, Obama has no time in his busy schedule, but he has time to be on ABC's The View. But he got bin Laden. Obama also went on an apology tour in 2009, promising Muslim nations that America would be nicer, talking about what a beautiful, peaceful religion Islam is and how America is just as much an Islamic country as a Christian country. But in that corner of the world, those kinds of speeches of appeasement actually embolden terrorism. It's considered a sign of weakness. But he got bin Laden. Egyptian President Morsi is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, a jihadist group that also promises to destroy Israel and conquer the world for Islam. Obama said he was unconcerned when the Muslim Brotherhood came into power because at least it was through a democracy. But he got bin Laden. After waiting a few days before defending our American embassy from people who climbed the building, burnt our flag, and replaced it with an Islamic flag, Egyptian President Morsi gave a speech at the United Nations, despicable speech demanding that Americans change their First Amendment laws and not allow any criticism of Islam. And in Dearborn, Michigan, Muslims are demanding the same. They don't need to wait for the law to change. Obama already put pressure on YouTube to remove the offensive video. When YouTube refused to back down, the director of the movie Innocence of Muslims was arrested. Oh, sure. They found some kind of probation violation from his past, but that's not why he was arrested. Meanwhile, this is the same president who put Mark Lloyd into office as the diversity czar. They've learned to stop using the term fairness doctrine. Now they call it localism instead. What is localism? An attempt to regulate talk radio and the internet. It's the fairness doctrine under a new name because that name became unpopular. Obama also signed a law a few months ago giving him complete control over the internet in case of an emergency. It didn't make a lot of news because we were talking about all those other executive orders of his. He can control the internet in the case of an emergency. God only knows what this man would call an emergency, people. They won't admit that we're at war with radical Islam. They don't even like the term war on terror. When a Muslim American soldier shot 13 people at Fort Hood, Obama refused to call that an act of terror. He called it domestic violence, even though the guy shouted Allah Akbar. His Homeland Security Chief, Janet Napolitano, says that terrorists can also spring from all kinds of people. People concerned about protecting our borders, pro-life organizations. So who knows what they might call an emergency. But he got bin Laden. As for health care, he lied. He lied many, many times. He said it would not include a tax. And that's how it passed Congress, because he said he wouldn't tax anybody but the rich. He said it was not a tax. But then when it was challenged in court by over 30 states, the only way to sell it to the Supreme Court was to call it a tax. And now the Supreme Court upheld the law. He said there would be no death panels. Well, there is a section in there, and the section doesn't say death panel, but it is a section that says the government will decide how health care is to be rationed. And there are things in there about how much we're going to give care to older people who've lived their life. It's more of this share the wealth kind of stuff. He said health care would not be made available to illegal aliens, but he didn't tell you how he would make many of the illegals under 31 legal through fiat, otherwise known as executive order. He said if you wanted to keep your doctor and insurance that you already have, you can. He didn't tell you that by not allowing insurance companies to refuse preconditions or forcing insurance companies to keep people's kids on the rolls until they're 26, well, who do you think's going to pay for all that? You are. So insurance premiums go up until people can no longer afford their own insurance. Then with less people buying private insurance, the private sector insurance could go out of business. And employers who are commanded to buy insurance for all of their employees or pay a fine will simply hire less employees or pay the fine, since it's cheaper to pay the fine than to get insurance for everybody. And of course, that means less people are working. In time, government insurance will be the only thing left, but that was his plan from the beginning, a redistribution of wealth. He likes that kind of stuff. He doesn't want everybody to have good health care. Instead, he's enraged that some have good health care and some have no health care, so he wants to make things even by being sure everybody has the same lousy health care. If they just tweaked a few laws and allowed insurance companies to compete across state lines, the cost might go down for everybody, and then everybody might be able to afford health care. But that doesn't fit into Obama's plan of sacking the rich and gaining more power by promoting class warfare. But he got bin Laden. Our country's debt has gone up to $4.939 trillion. A lot of that money was from his stimulus, which gave him significant control over portions of the bank and auto industry, telling them what kinds of loans to give out and what kinds of cars to produce. The money also includes $535 million loaned to Solyndra, the green energy company that went belly up. $2 million earmarked for swine odor research in Iowa. I think we already knew that pigs stink. I'm not sure if anyone cares why. I do care that $2 million was spent on this Pope.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's weekly column for Washington Times Communities. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net, S-I-E-G-E-L, bobsiegel.net. Here, you can download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net.
We're looking at the way Obama's brilliant stimulus package funded so many interesting and creative projects. Now, as I continue down this list, remember, he got bin Laden. You know, he's going to say that. I know he might forget to say that in the debate on Wednesday, so I'm reminding. He got bin Laden. He got bin Laden. Just remember that when I read all these things. How was more of that stimulus money that was supposed to revive our economy used? $300,000 for a GPS-equipped helicopter to hunt for radioactive rabbit droppings at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation in Washington State. Who other than Elmer Fudd could possibly care about this one? $11 million for Microsoft to build a bridge connecting its two headquarter campuses in Redmond, Washington, which are separated by a highway. Can you just feel our economy recovering? $430,000 to repair a bridge in Iowa County, Wisconsin that carries 10 or fewer cars per day. In all fairness, maybe they're hoping a Mercedes will carry some rich man into town to start a new business. Yeah, sure. That must have been it. $800,000 for the John Murtha Airport in Jonestown, Pennsylvania, which serves about 20 passengers per day, and they want to build a backup runway. Are you trying to figure out how this stuff helps our economy? Don't think, son. It hurts the team. $219,000 for Syracuse University to study the sex lives of freshman women. Call me a romantic, but aren't there already enough freshman males who will volunteer to conduct this study for free? $3.4 million for a 13-foot tunnel for turtles and other wildlife attempting to cross U.S. 27 in Lake Jackson, Florida. Well, that ends the discussion about whether or not America is a discriminating country. Just ask the Grateful Turtles, who were hoping they wouldn't need an alternative route to U.S. 27. $9.38 million to renovate a century-old train depot in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania that has not been used for three decades. Any objections, you party of no Republicans? Not used for three decades, you say? Well, yeah, sure, if you're going to bring all that up. $2.5 million in stimulus checks sent out to the deceased. I think I probably need to say that again so you know you heard me correctly. $2.5 million in stimulus checks sent out to the deceased. By accident, I'm sure, but sent out. Now, that has to be the greatest all-time example of money well spent. $6 million for a snow-making facility in Duluth, Minnesota. Am I crazy? Doesn't it already snow 6 months out of the year in Minnesota? They need a snowmaking facility? $173,834 to weatherize eight pickup trucks in Madison County, Illinois. Yeah, I just lose sleep over pickup trucks being weatherized. $20,000 for a fish sperm freezer at the Gavin's Point National Fish Hatchery in South Dakota. I hope they pay careful attention to this one. I wouldn't want it to accidentally become a banquet frozen dinner. $356,000 for Indiana University to study childhood comprehension of foreign accents compared with native speech. I'll save you the money. It sounds to the kids like somebody is speaking with an accent. $462,000 to purchase 22 concrete toilets for use in the Mark Twain National Forest in Missouri. I hope they have extra concrete to pour in Mark Twain's grave. I believe the poor guy is turning in it. $3.1 million to transform a canal barge into a floating museum that will travel the Erie Canal in New York State. In all fairness, the last time I visited a museum, I was quite upset that it didn't float. And then the granddaddy of them all, are you ready? $300 a piece for thousands of signs at road construction sites across the country announcing that the projects are funded by stimulus money. I already love it so much when I have to stop for road construction, and I think we already knew that these were our tax dollars hard at work. But alas, learning that this was made especially possible by extra tax dollars truly cheers me up when my trip is interrupted. Only $300 a piece for this incredibly useful information? Sounds like a bargain. As you can see, our president and good portions of his Congress, the Democrats that work with him, could give a flying leap about fixing our economy. Instead, they are interested in opening up a grab bag of favors for the lobbyist groups that keep them in power. And I should say, Republicans do some of that stuff too. Not as much, but they do. We, the people, of course, are supposed to be too stupid to notice. They'll find out how stupid we are in November. Ladies and gentlemen, the man is not a good president. We got the change he promised, but not the change most of you were counting on. He doesn't believe in free speech, not if you're going to speak about the violence of Muslims, not if you're going to speak against same-sex marriage. He's pro-choice, but only for abortion. He's not pro-choice with anything else. He doesn't believe you should choose what schools to send your children to. He doesn't believe in school choice. He doesn't believe you should choose what to drive or how much money to earn and keep or what to pay your employees or what kind of loans banks should be allowed to give out. His wife doesn't believe you should be able to choose what to eat or what to give your children for lunch. He wants to control every nook and cranny of your life. Those who disagree with his attempts are swiftly dismissed by being called racist. That shuts everyone up. That ends the conversation. They're also accused of not believing in healthcare or not believing in clean water or not believing in clean air. He demonizes his opponents. He says he believes in bipartisanship, but his definition of bipartisanship is that the Congress should do things exactly as he wants them done. The man promised hope and changed. He delivered on the change. Now there's only one hope. Vote him out of office. Well, Nick, I think we have a few minutes here. Nick's our board op. We usually hear from him when we talk about movies, but Nick's a pretty bright guy with other things. And one thing that especially impressed me of his brightness, I believe he told me once that he's not going to reelect Obama, at least not with his vote. What do you say, Nick?
That is very true. I'm not. I didn't vote for him in 2008. I'm not going to vote for him in this election.
Good for you. So you weren't one of the ones duped the first time.
Absolutely not. You want to know why?
And that's to your credit, because I hate to say this, and I love college students. I've done ministry to college students for years, but a lot of college students did vote for him, and you didn't.
I didn't, and you want to know why?
I do.
It's because on election day, I was laid off. I was laid off within days
of election day. You're thinking you might have voted for him if you hadn't been laid off?
No, not even that either, because one thing that a lot of my peers didn't notice, and a lot of the media didn't notice either, I hardly heard him talk about the economy before it, you know, before the proverbial blank
hit
the fan.
The big meltdown happened, I think, just within weeks of the election.
About September or so, yeah.
Yeah, McCain and Palin were leading in double digits before the economy melted down.
It's true, but the signs were already there. The housing market was already melting down.
Oh, yeah, the housing market was already gone, and now some of the banks are going out of business. Washington Mutual appeared on the horizon.
Absolutely, and I heard McCain talk about it. Never heard Obama talk about it. All he said was, oh, hope and change, and yes, we can.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's all he talked about. And now we've had 4 years of him. 4 years of him, and what has he done about the economy? What was the first thing he did? The first thing he did was go in there and do his Affordable Health Care Act,
which just wreaks havoc on our economy. But he knew that at the moment he had a Democratic Congress, and he needed to do it fast.
He needed to do it right there. But he's barely done anything about the economy. He's going to take credit for the very little bit that has been changed, mostly due to temporary jobs. He's going to take credit for that.
Well, those job numbers are somewhat skewed because they don't reflect the fact that so many people have left the workforce and are
absolutely
not even looking for jobs.
Have either retired or have given up. And I've known a few people like that as well. And also, anything that hasn't changed over the last 4 years, he's still going to blame Bush. I'm sorry, but you're up for re-election. I think the time to blame Bush is over.
Well, and when things would go back and forth, if we get a little bit better, then he'd take the credit, then we'd go a little bit bad again, so we'd leapfrog back to Bush. And if he wants to go to Bush, then he's got to give Bush credit for bin Laden, because they used the security apparatus Bush put in place.
Bush set it all up. He just knocked it down.
Well, his strategy is to just tie Romney to Bush the way he tied. He's an amazing man. He's running against Bush in 2012. He ran against Bush in 2008. Bush didn't run either time.
And if he were up in 2016, he'd still do it, too.
He obeys amazing Obama. Well, we do have secret weapons like Madonna, who supported him.
Oh, boy.
Clint Eastwood, you have been avenged.
That's a whole other discussion.
Nick, always insightful. You should do more on this side of the mic. You're every bit as good on this side of the mic as you are.
Thank you.
But, of course, I need you in the tech room because you make this show possible. All right, my friends, I will see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Do you own or manage rental property?